This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:08, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle and Game 6 starter, Uncle Ralph Diaz. Uncle Ralph, you got some magic left in the sleeve?
No, I don't. I think
what you say. We're in Cardinal country here. Where this is not in Boston now.
I know, but I'm also realistic, and I think the magic maybe has trickled out of the sleeve. I don't know. We'll see tonight.
You know the good thing of it is? Tonight's the opening night for trick-or-treating. How many husbands are going to be staying home to help the wives out with trick-or-treating? Like, honey, you handle it. I'm going to go to the corner, watch the game. You handle it. Have fun. You know? So, we might want to watch the divorce filings. That may increase the divorce filing.
It could be an interesting evening, but
if anyone can do it, Michael Wacha can do it, I think.
But I keep thinking this young man is going to go to the well once too often, you know.
Yeah. But that's why they play the game.
You look back, I know we've got a talk show here, but real quick, you look back at Mr. Wainwright the other night. He struck out the first six batters he faced.
Yep.
So then what'd Boston do? They took a half step up, and that sinker ball of his was where, when they took that half step up, they could hit it. So you have to adjust, it, just like in everyday life. You, me, everybody, you have to adjust.
Absolutely.
This isn't working, so you adjust.
That's right.
As you well are aware of this, you married a farmer. And who does more adjusting than farmers?
Yes, I think on a daily
basis. What works today on the farm, tomorrow is a failure.
And we've got a good guest here.
Yes, we have.
A returning guest that hasn't been on the show in a long time. Heather Hampton Nodal is our guest. From the county board, corporation. Is there anything you're not a part of?
I mean, it's... Well, no. 4-H leader. Woohoo! That's 4-H what I'm
leader.
Enjoying
okay.
a lot
4-H
right
H
now.
Leader, yeah.
Go 4-H.
We will have our conversation right after this. Hang on.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we know firsthand just how difficult the passing of a beloved family member can be. Losing a loved one is never easy, but there is a simple way to lift some of the burdens from your family. Come by Plummer Funeral Home and we'll help you make your final arrangements in advance. We'll record your choices and help you plan a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
Almost.
And at 9:10, we're back on the Wednesday talk show. Heather Hampton Nodal is our guest. Heather, welcome back. It's been a while.
It has, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And let's talk a little bit. The last time you were on the program, you were still involved with the Economic Development Corporation. That's still the case.
I'm still a member.
Yeah, you're still a member.
Correct.
You've upgraded. You're now a member of the county board, which that kind of like, it didn't catch me off guard, but I'm like, that's an interesting name. When I saw the list of people running for county board,
yes.
I always do kind of like, that's an interesting candidate. Yours was like, wow, because I never thought, I mean... I didn't see it coming, but I'm glad you're on the board because you make the meetings a lot more interesting.
I keep it lively.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're now a member of the county board. She keeps Hurdle in line.
Mm.
What else has been going on?
Question that.
Yeah. What else has been going on with you?
Well, definitely Star Shooters 4-H Club was something that Extension approached me a few years ago after I'd resigned from economic development and said, would you be interested in being a leader of this club? Because it's been around for, we think, about 70 years. Nobody can really pin it down. I said, woof, that's a tough act to follow, but I'm loving it.
We were talking before we went on the air this morning. We've got relatively good news coming out of a program that you're associated with, the Economic
yes.
Development Authority.
Yes.
Tell us some good news.
Central Illinois Economic Development Authority, we helped, although that had been chartered in 2006 by state legislation, that was one of my initiatives, was to get all the appointments made and the gubernatorial appointments, worked with the governor's office, so we were up and running. We actually, at our October meeting, made an inducement for a $6 million housing project in Sangamon County. So that is great news for the entire region that this bond authority exists. And the advantage to having this regional bond authority is that those people who buy the bonds, they receive income tax exemption on the dividends from both state and federal. And that's something that a municipality or a county, they can't offer that if they were to do that on their own. And plus, as a bond authority, that's what we do. I mean, I don't do it, but the manager that we have, he does that on a daily basis. He knows how to make this happen and work with bond counsel, so it can work pretty nimbly compared to some of the other things. So I'm really excited. That is some positive news on the economic development front.
And you talk about the housing market. I'm a member of the Hillsborough Planning Commission, along with the County Planning Commission. Uncle Ralph, I do a lot of planning.
Yeah.
I know one thing on the city side with Hillsborough that we're looking into extensively is the housing market and the housing availability for the city of Hillsborough, because you and I both know this, a company or anything is not moving or coming to Montgomery County unless there's affordable housing available for their workers to go to.
Right. I think when you look at Montgomery County specifically, and you can compare us to our peers, our neighbors, a lot of our housing stock, although it may be deemed affordable in one sense, it is also very old. And that becomes a concern in terms of the quality of the dwelling in which you're living, and ultimately affects your population base. And ultimately what employers are looking at, yes, housing's part of that, but they're looking at that employment base. And are there some skilled people here that they can hire to do what they need done? And frankly, right now, that's one of the shortfalls overall that we face, not only as a county, but as a region. Whenever I was still with the Economic Development Corporation, we had worked to get a quality of labor survey done, and that was surveying employers, current employers, about their needs and the strengths that the workforce has. And they said loyalty is a strength of our workforce, but there are many needs that we collectively, education institutions, even in county government, and as employers and Lincoln Land and so on, we all need to be focused on addressing some of those needs.
And that's very important. When I've been on several groups where we were school structures and what have you, and the very first thing a contractor asks you, what kind of available workforce do you have in your community? You know, will we have labor problems, blah, blah, blah. And they really dig into this, because this is very important to them if they're going to come to your community.
It is.
Who are we going to get to work, and what kind of work, quality work will we get done?
Exactly. And ultimately, at what cost? At what price?
Yes.
And so there's always that trade-off. I talk about the triangle of time, quality, and cost. You can have two, but you can't have all three.
Right.
So what's more important?
You mentioned a while ago grant writing, and I was on the board for the first board for Montgomery County Water, and I had no inkling of how important good, solid grant writing was until I got involved in that board of trying to get water in the rural areas. And I was really impressed with what it takes to be a good grant writer.
And it's apparent by the results that board has seen, you contracted with the right people. I think that engineering firm out of Harrisburg and what they've been able to do. And EJ Water out of Dietrich is another very successful in that field of water companies and rural water. And so with the Economic Development Corporation, as they assist communities, and again, the county is a partner in that, we have, at this time, very limited funds in the county budget that are designated specifically for economic development. And that is primarily a membership, so to speak, or financial support of the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation. So the role it plays in providing that assistance to communities is really critical.
And let's give credit where credit's due. The Montgomery County Water Company, how this all originated, was the thoughts of the county board. They were the ones that originated, let's get rural water. And then they came to people like myself, and we formed a board and went from there. But the Board of Supervisors is the one that came up with the original plan. Let's go for it.
And you mentioned grants, and several people have been in here talking about grants and that. they're becoming fewer and far between because the state's in a position where that, I think, option's out the door. The federal government, you never know what's going to happen over there.
There is no real money. It's kind of just following what... I mean,
and it's
to be blunt, some things may be repackaged and repositioned, and so someone monitoring that constantly to find out could we be eligible is really critical. Well, and right now, rural America, frankly, is in the crosshairs in several areas, so we're just scrambling to look for those opportunities all the time.
The days of a 100% fully funded grant are, in my mind, over, I think.
Oh, yes. I'm...
A city or county or whoever will have to put up maybe 30 up to about, 40 to 20% of a project. And even on a city budget or whatever, that's still a lot of money.
We had... that's one thing we've done... So in my current role, I am chairman of the Economic Development Committee of the Montgomery County Board. And one of many things that we've been working on, I guess I was sworn into office in December, so it's been almost a year.
Man, time flies.
It feels like five, yes.
Time flies, doesn't it?
But one of the things we thought might be helpful is we worked with, and we thank the county offices for this. We've, as an economic development committee, we said it might be helpful because we have so many new mayors and new council members at the municipal levels to send them kind of a welcome packet to share background information on the number of county services that intersect with what individual communities do. So things like 911 calls and dispatching, things like animal control and collecting nuisance, enforcing that part of our animal control ordinance and collecting those animals, things related to recycling and recycling pickup. But there's so many other areas. It was actually what I thought was going to be a pretty simple process ended up looking like something that could fill a one-inch three-ring binder with no problem. But we've received such feedback from these mayors. We've also reactivated the Enterprise Zone Committee, but we've invited all the mayors in the county to participate in those meetings. So it's almost like a roundtable. So we cover what's happening in the Enterprise Zone because there are so many, there were 23 amendments to that state law within the last legislative session, which the state of Illinois is still working on enacting through Department of Revenue and Department of Commerce. But at our meetings with the mayors, without fail, every one of them said, whether their town has 35 people or 7,000 people, they said, for us to come up with this 25% match, which is somewhat standard right now on a lot of the infrastructure grants that they really need, that's what's ironic, too. There are grants out here for things that might help change some light bulbs, but do we really need that right now? No.
Right.
We need new water lines. We need water towers. We need distribution systems. We need sewer systems.
Sidewalks.
We need to upgrade and maintain.
Right.
And so that's... But all, every one of them said, it's a challenge for us to come up with that money. There is no extra money anywhere.
Right.
And for that local match, so again, I've brought that back to our County Economic Development Committee and said, as we're looking forward, we see the news related to the Farmersville mine closure. And so short term, working with the Economic Development Corporation, and it will become West Central, and as well as West Central Regional Development Council, in terms of how do we help those displaced workers and how do we get them retrained, where can we find work, this sort of thing. There's that component that's short-term and reactionary. But long-term, looking at the royalties that we have now from the Deer Run coal mine in our county, which, Tobin, you said it, that switch can go off and on as well, depending on federal energy policy, which right now coal is literally a dirty four-letter word from the U.S. Department of Energy and from the White House. And we've got to be saying as a county and as a region and as a state, this can no longer be a dirty word. This is a viable, necessary point of our energy. If you read your energy bill, more than 60% of the Ameren energy users, anybody on their distribution system,
it's powered by coal.
Powered by coal. Mm-hmm. That's the reality we're in. So we've got to defend that reality. But from a Longview perspective, what we're saying is use some of these royalties and start to prepare for the next economy. And maybe part of that discussion becomes, can we create our own kind of, call it a revolving loan fund for communities to help them make that local match? But this is part of our discussion right now. It's not decided.
We've had Joe Gasperch in here before. And my next question, if I touch this up, please stop me, okay?
All right.
Is now an important time to talk with the Deer Run Mine people and make sure, hey, how are you doing? What's going
right,
on?
Yeah.
I mean, because I think...
Show them some love, right?
Well, I'm not saying show them some love, but you look at the Farmers Bill situation, I think that kind of... I think the people in the know probably knew that this was coming.
Right.
But...
We had about a week's notice before it hit the papers.
In a, you know...
And we have county board members have been in contact with the mine, with the leadership at the mine. Okay. And... at this time, part of our question as well was, could part of that energy contract, which essentially ADM needs their energy, and I'm also talking with ADM, but could part of that be purchased from Deer Run? Was part of that shifted? And, you know, you learn a lot of things in this discovery process, and what you learn is EPA will not allow ADM to store their fly ash on site. So what becomes valuable to them? It's not just where they can buy their coal, it's where can they store their fly ash afterward.
Right.
And there are only a couple places within Central Illinois where they could do that.
Right.
So we've got to look at these realities.
And you mentioned a while ago, once this mine closed, you have the job of retraining these individuals for something else. And that's a two-edged sword also.
Right. Where do
you
they go?
You can train them for another job, but where are they going to find that job?
Exactly.
Yeah, that, you know, so it just goes on and on.
Exactly. Now call me stubborn, you know, but I persist in thinking, if we look at our employment across the board, agriculture has been our engine over time in this county and in Central Illinois, both at the production level and in processing and agribusiness and related industries like GSI. Look at that, okay? WorkSaver over in Sullivan, or Litchfield, AgriFab in Sullivan, so on. You've got all these support industries. But the majority of our employment across the board, and you've got a few big players like a power plant, which is really, really crucial to us from an assessment standpoint and from an employment. But across the board, it comes down to micro-businesses, micro-enterprises. It is these entrepreneurs, small business people who are making it go day in and day out that are really keeping our people employed. I mean, bottom line. And then we have a lot of retail services, so we've seen growth in retail. And if someone says, well, what's retail? Well, that's your gas stations, your convenience stores, your shopping for consumer goods, okay? Walmart, Alco, Dollar General. But we all know that those are not the jobs that can allow people to put savings away.
No.
Those are not the jobs that allow people to buy their own home. Those are the jobs that help them either pay child care or buy some clothes, keep food on the table.
Right.
But it doesn't help you build wealth over time. So I persist in thinking that our entrepreneurship and empowering people to be their own employers ultimately then will create more employment.
Basically, those that you just mentioned, employers, are jobs that sustain life, but they don't allow you to do much else, as you stated.
Exactly.
And everything, the business you're in, the business I spent my life in, agriculture, your husband today can go out and do what your father-in-law and I, probably three or four people did 25 years ago because of the equipment, the technology. And everything else. So even agriculture is using less labor to do more.
It is, but yet we need, and even agriculture needs more skilled labor to do what we're doing.
Yes.
You have to understand it's computers, it's GPS, it's a lot of data management and electrics and wiring. And it's
we are running short on time. I wish this show was a half.
So stay tuned for part two.
But with a full hour.
Once upon a time it was.
I know, but I think Earl would be mad at us if we cut off his market report. real quickly here.
Yes.
Broadband initiative.
Yes.
How is that going?
Tobin, I don't know the current numbers. Royale is still the primary retail provider, I guess that you'd say, from a user standpoint that people would contact, but I know they had within 6 months, they had 600 new users on the system in the first 6 months of the program. People that I've talked to who are able to get Royal, which again, this is the DiMuzio Broadband Initiative, the two-county pilot. I'm on the outer ring within 10 miles of a tower, and we're still able to push that 10 megabits type service level. So this is really relevant, and I think people are seeing more and more, whether it's your child who needs to do their homework online and their schoolwork and their spelling and math, or it's for starting up your business, or people who are doing gaming and recreation. I know that Royal is looking at ways to build out additional towers within Montgomery County, at least one tower specifically that I'm aware of, and the Economic Development Corporation is still in conversations with them about how to get that done. So that's a good sign. That tells me there's still demand and the system is growing.
And that is crucial. On the County Planning Commission, that was one of the things that you have to have it.
Telecommunications is the lifeline.
You have to have it.
So the wheels are on the ground and they are turning.
They are turning. There's good news. Good news.
We need to have you back again. Don't be such a stranger.
Well, hey, if you invite me, I will come.
Absolutely. We will definitely have you back. Uncle Ralph, we've got a good show next week. Mike Ryan and Harry Hutchinson will be here.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about that Taj Mahal that's being built in downtown Hillsboro.
And blocking off Main Street.
And blocking off Main Street, yes.
Yeah, we'll get on them about that.
We'll get on them up.
I'm hoping they're going to feature some young entrepreneurs in some of the cases they'll have in that lobby and help them sell some of their stuff. I think we've got some young people who could benefit, and the bank could too.
Absolutely. Heather, it's always a pleasure. Thank you again. And until then, we'll talk to you next week. So
Thank
long.
You.